This is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners.
By small business owners.
I'm Alex Vasquez, and this is my co-conspirator,
Natalie MacLeese.
Yay! We did a thing nine times.
Ten? Wait, 11.
Is this 11?
This is 11.
Man, we can't count.
I know, neither one of us can count.
Well, welcome to episode 11.
This is our second episode in the double digits.
I know, and it's going to keep going up. Eventually, we're going to get to the triple digits, you know?
That's kind of scary.
It is. Do you ever think about our anniversary podcasts that we haven't done yet?
Like, our 100th anniversary?
Yeah.
It's almost 2 years in.
Yeah, I know, right? I can't wait. I can't wait for our second year anniversary.
We definitely need to have a cake.
How about I make the cake?
What kind of cake are you
going to
make?
It's going to be a sardine and peanut butter cake.
No! I don't want that cake.
Well, I guess that just means more for me. But so how was your week? You had your mom in town. Mm-hmm. How did that all go?
It went pretty well. We stayed super busy. We went and did all kinds of fun things.
I noticed you didn't invite me to hang out with your mom at any point. Did she say, Natalie, you better not invite that man?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. I was too much the first time, wasn't I?
The first time that you awkwardly held her hand and looked into her eyes.
Was that awkward?
Yeah, it was a little awkward.
That's usually my move whenever I meet someone for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, tell her I said I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I had a pretty decent week. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm telling you anyway. So I got my first two sales from my add-on.
Well, hey, that's exciting.
Yeah. So I got my first two sales. So far, no support tickets on it yet. For those who don't know, I built an add-on for Ninja Forms, an active campaign. So if you use those services / plugins, you can use them together now. Please buy them, because I get like 50 cents for every sale. So I'm definitely making like tons of stuff here.
Saving up for a latte?
I'm saving a latte for a latte later. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop making puns. No jokes today. Today is No Joke Podcast, Alex.
Here's a question for you. What's the difference between a pun and a dad joke?
I thought puns are dad jokes.
Yeah.
But dad jokes are not puns.
If there's a Venn diagram, there's definitely an overlap there.
Definitely. But you definitely have to be a dad or know a dad to do a dad joke.
Doesn't everyone know a dad?
Not everyone.
Who doesn't know a dad?
I'm sure there's at least like a certain percentage of the population who does not know a dad.
Well, like 0.00001%?
Listen, Doubting Thomas over there. I'm pretty sure that there is significant research, and there are some people out there who don't know a dad. Hmm. Pretty sure I'm right.
All right. Well, moving on.
So, we had a challenge.
As always.
Last week's challenge was to pick a thing to quit doing. And I kind of quit something. I'm quitting something.
Okay,
I've decided.
Good.
I've decided.
Did the challenge.
I did the challenge.
Did you quit doing it yet?
It's a hard thing to answer, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. As some of you know, or may not know, I do a lot of work in WordPress. A lot of the sites I build, the solutions I build, are built on top of WordPress.
Are you quitting WordPress?
I'm not.
Okay.
Sometimes I want to, but I'm not quitting that. So the very first site that I created using WordPress was a blog. Uh-huh. And it's a dating blog. I don't like to talk about it much. Once upon a time, I used to create content for this site. But if you do a search of online dating blog, that blog, that I, the one that I'm talking about, will be... Actually, you know what?
Is it on the first page?
It's on the first page. It's a highly ranked blog about online dating.
Okay.
I used to do a ton of work on it, and I still kind of do. Like, I maintain it. You know, it still takes overhead in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't write for it anymore, but it's still my site. It still has my content on there, plus lots of other contributions. But it does take some time every week to do stuff on it. But I haven't really wanted to do anything with it. I don't make really all that much money with it anymore. I kind of want to let it go. I'm going to quit doing my blog.
Are you going to sell it?
I'm going to try to sell it. I've tried selling it in the past. I actually got an offer from someone maybe like a month or two ago. And they said, oh, you know, we could probably give you $5,000 for it. Which I would like to see more money than that because I feel like it's a site that's worth more. It's not getting ad revenue. Like,
have you had the site appraised?
No.
You can do that.
Where does one appraise a website?
Well, that's a good question. I've had it done before, though.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like there might be some ways to appraise a website that I am not privy to. So maybe that's something that I can do, but I am quitting that blog. At this point, quitting that to me would be selling it off or actively being in the mode to sell it with the intention to get rid of it.
Yeah. Get it off your plate.
Yeah. And you know, there's many hundreds of articles on it. It ranks really high for a number of important keywords, relevant keywords. You know, it has a Twitter account with a decent following. So
and you generate some ad revenue, right?
I generate revenue from content.
Oh, okay.
Here's part of the problem is, yeah, it doesn't really do ad revenue. Like the Google ad or AdWords does not allow advertising with explicit adult content. Which
oh, okay.
The Urban Dater has some of that.
Yeah.
So you can't really do that. So yeah, that's kind of significant because I learned a lot with that website. I feel like there's still more to learn, but I just don't have the passion to do anything with it anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to let it go.
All right.
I'm going to get it off my plate.
That sounds good.
When I'm going to quit.
Well, that's very exciting news. You've had that site for a long time.
Since 2008?
Yeah.
2008, yeah.
10 years.
It's a long time.
It is.
It's a good run. It's had a good run, and it's time for someone else to take it to the next level.
Yeah, somebody who can have fresh passion for it.
Yes, and make tons of money, so I'll be very upset.
Probably, yeah. That's the problem. I sold a site recently. The person who took it over is going gangbusters with it, getting all kinds of new social media followers. And
what kind of site did you sell?
An e-commerce site.
How come you never...
Affiliate site.
How come you never tell me this stuff?
I think you know the Unicorn Lovers Club.
Wait, someone wanted to buy that?
Yeah.
I call shenanigans.
I sold it and I included all the social media accounts with it.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I figure you can probably give me some insight on this whole selling a website thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well...
And you can get rid of it. And
yeah.
You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I would like to get rid
of... focus on new, fresh projects.
I would love to focus on something else to build up. And, you know, that's the thing. You build a thing up, you put time into something, you get this value out of it. But, you know, if it doesn't serve you anymore, then it's time to cut the cord.
Time to move on.
Speaking of moving on, Natalie, you allegedly quit something.
I allegedly quit something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
Don't say you quit me, because that'll make it really awkward to keep doing this podcast.
You're right, it would.
So what did you quit?
I actually quit a few things. I felt like I was wasting too much of my work day on a few things that I started doing, I think, with the intention that it would help grow my business, but I don't think they actually are, and I think they're just wasting my time.
Okay.
I have quit looking at Reddit and LinkedIn and like a couple of other social sites every day, which I had already quit Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't spend all that much time on Twitter. So it was just a bunch of other stuff. Quora and stuff with forums where you answer questions and things like that. I started doing all that stuff originally thinking, oh, someone will come in here and see all my smart posts and answers and will hire me. But I don't think anyone's ever hired me off of any of those things.
Okay, that's fair. And, you know, I think having some sort of presence on some sites, the prevailing theory is if you're on highly trafficked sites or highly used sites that people are going to see you there and they're going to click through on you and hire you. And, you know, that's part of kind of link building strategies and whatnot, but it's not a good strategy because you should appear in places that are really relevant and that you're excited by. Because if you're enticed and excited about the community that you're a part of, that's where you'll get the traction. That's where someone will see your enthusiasm and your expertise and say, oh, this is someone I should hire, or this is someone I should recommend. And a lot of these sites are time sucks. Facebook is a time suck. Having gotten back on it, I know that I waste time on there again now. I want to quit it. I just have a hard time with it because I do have some business reasons for being on there. There's Facebook groups that have value for me to participate in. And okay, so let me ask you though. So you quit a number of online / social communities. Don't you think that, or maybe you've experienced this already, but don't you feel like it's so easy just to hop right back on and get right back into it? Are you doing anything to prevent you from going back into these sites? Like, are you shutting down accounts? What's the strategy there?
Well, I use a browser homepage called My Faves.
Yeah.
Which is myfav.es.
Okay.
And it lets you set up basically a browser homepage. Every time you launch your browser, you get this page that's just a grid of links to the sites that you use the most often.
Okay.
And I just took those sites off the grid. So they're not sitting there tempting me to click on them.
Okay. That's fair. That's
because I was like, sit down to work, and every time I open the browser, I think, oh, there's Quora. I haven't looked at that today. And then I'd go click on it. I didn't shut down my account. Part of what inspired me to quit contributing to those communities was that I really wasn't seeing any benefit. And it is a huge time commitment to go in there. I mean, you could easily spend an hour a day on each of those sites going through and reading everyone's questions and engaging and answering. I read Cal Newport's blog called Study Hacks.
Okay.
And he said that one of the big things that people have with social media is they have this any benefit mindset. That if you're getting any benefit from a social media platform of any kind, that it's good to continue using it. And that's not actually a very efficient approach. And you should be looking to see, is the benefit commensurate with what you're investing into it?
That makes a lot of sense because, again, going back to my example with Facebook, the time suck part of it is just getting drawn into people's posts and conversations and stuff that provides little to no value to me. The valuable part is if I have questions or recommendations I want on things, there are quick feedback communities that I can post to. And, you know, I'm not trying to establish myself. I'm just kind of feeding off of knowledge there. In that sense, it's a useful tool for me.
Yeah. And I think I feel like sometimes that I can't use a community that way, that I can't just go in there and ask my questions and not contribute back. But I guess that there are enough people in there looking to,
I do all the
to
time.
Establish a reputation or that are grateful to have questions to answer, right?
True.
And maybe just by asking thoughtful, good questions, that is a way of contributing to the community.
Oh, it absolutely is, right? Because, you know, you never know how many other people have that same question. Maybe they're afraid to ask it, literally. They're afraid to ask it, or people forget. It's amazing what happens when one person poses the question. You know, it kind of has this ripple effect. A bunch of Me Toos start raising their hands. Oh, yeah, you know, I was thinking about this too. Go Us. I think that's useful, you know, in very different ways too, right? It doesn't always have to be like an activity that you're doing it. You could also quit people.
You can.
Break up with that annoying spouse.
No, don't tell people to get divorced.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Just kidding.
If you need to get divorced, you know. You don't need us to tell you.
You know what? Get divorced from that friend. Get a divorce from that friend who always eats your food, doesn't give you the money. Divorce that friend. It's wow. Okay.
So...
Or quit online dating apps.
Like, don't Alex. Be friends with Kramer.
Don't be...
Is or any... Joey.
Joey Blowy? Oh, or Joey from Friends.
Joey from Friends.
Okay. Joey Blowy. Why did I go there first? Well, that's a great segue.
Okay, into
next week's challenge.
Nice sound effects.
Thank you.
The movie phone guy doesn't need to be on the podcast.
Thank you for calling movie phone. Okay, we have a challenge to do this week. What is the challenge? Because I've already forgotten.
It's been like 10 minutes.
I forget a lot of things in 10 minutes.
Did you quit remembering? Was that what you quit this week?
It's pretty funny. Yeah, I decided to quit remembering things. So that's my other thing that I quit. I quit memory. Straight up quit memory.
So unuseful.
Yeah. Okay, so our challenge this week is to find a educational thing that we can...
Products
that we can... Does it have to be free? Do we have to give it away, or...
I think we could start with a freebie.
We can start with a freebie. It doesn't have to be.
Nope.
For you and myself, given the nature of our business, a freebie makes sense.
Yes.
And we'll talk about a little more how to incentivize this product. But so as business owners, we're called upon by the discipline of running a business to do so many different things, to put on so many different hats. And, you know, we have to be therapists, we have to be technicians, and we have to be empathetic in all these things that, you know, maybe we're not always used to. We learn so much, and I think we forget to give ourselves credit and truly understand how much value we provide to customers and clients.
I think that's probably true. We also probably spend a lot of time educating customers and clients.
To provide a top tier level of service, we have to be educators. Yeah, so, I mean, you're absolutely right. We are educating. You know, whether it's consulting or just educating people on the products or services that you sell. If you're a brick and mortar wine shop, you are educating people about wine all the time. Like mm-hmm. If you do a wine flight, I just did one. I went to Monopole Wine, which is...
Is it Monopole and not Monopoly?
It's not Monopoly. It's Monopole.
All right.
I asked.
Okay.
So I did a wine flight there, and the people educated me on which regions these wines came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wine has just this huge breadth of information about it.
Yeah, there's so much history and mm-hmm. varieties of grapes and mm-hmm. ways of making them into wine and regions of the world. And
I wouldn't know where to start.
Right.
But these people, these owners could create some sort of educational product or something that could be free.
Mm-hmm.
To educate wine enthusiasts, specific types of enthusiasts, maybe newbies like myself. Like, I enjoy wine. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you, you know, any varietals or anything like that off the top of my head. But it's, I don't even know what a varietal is. I just heard it once. But there's a product there that can educate me. I guess I'm going to put it back to you, Natalie.
Okay.
You have a lot of clients. You talk to a lot of people. You educate mm-hmm. people. How do you feel about this challenge? Do you feel like there's something that you can put out there?
Yeah, I think I could definitely come up with, you know, maybe a short ebook that's just a few pages long with some basics on, you know, what you should know as a website owner or what you should know before you hire someone to build a website.
Sure.
Different things like that that I think I could put together that would help people to figure out what they need to know, what they don't know.
Yeah.
That they need to keep in mind. And then I think the side benefit of that is that it also instills a certain level of confidence in me as somebody who can be frank and share that kind of information.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I'm thinking about that too. because with that information, we can use it to educate existing customers. Mm-hmm. By just providing that resource, we are improving that customer experience, that client experience.
Yeah, which is what I've been using my fancy email newsletter for.
Which, by the way, good job. I got one.
Thanks.
I'm on your list, in case you didn't know it. So I think that we can use educational products to deliver more value from clients, which, you know, in the long term, these are things that help us possibly in getting new work. Recommendations, uh-huh. A client who continuously buys from us instead of looking elsewhere because they know that they're getting value from us in some way or another.
I have to say, since I've sent out a couple of email newsletters, I've had some clients that I haven't done work for in a while reach out.
Yes. And it's nutty how that happens. So with respect to email newsletters, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but when you start like hitting people with this information, if they want to hear from you, I guarantee you it's going to jog something in that person's mind. They're, oh, hey, it's Natalie. You know, I haven't talked to her in ages and I've got this thing on the back burner that I need help with, or I know this person who I talked to. I need to make the connection. It's nuts how that happens. And, you know, even from my own newsletters that I've been sending out myself, it's the same sort of thing. General inquiry about, I need specific work done. But, you know, with an educational product, though, something where we're delivering value and potentially, depending on how you build this educational product, it can help lead to a positive interaction, like a sale or something like that. Mm-hmm. It creates something educational, free or for sale or whatever.
Well, let's talk about some of the kinds of things people could create.
I guess that would be helpful. So
you can do an ebook or some kind of PDF.
Yeah.
That you could share. It could be a drip email campaign.
I was going to say like a drip email course. Or something like that.
So something like, in 1 week, improve your website or something. And it would be every day you send an email. Look at your homepage. Look at your about page. Mm-hmm. Does your contact form work? You could step somebody through something like that.
I think that's a great idea. And that's probably one of the things that I'll do. Just like your basic website checkup. Week one, do this stuff. Week two, check this stuff out. And, you know, if this stuff doesn't work, we should talk.
Yeah.
That's something that I would possibly, that's something I would send to leads. You know, people I'm not actively working with.
Yeah. You can make an infographic.
An infographic? Something that easily and delightfully informs people, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And those are good because people will want to share it on their social media and all of that kind of stuff. You could do a white paper.
A white paper, which is an educational deep dive into some aspect of your business or product offering or case study even.
Yeah, a case study would be a good one. And then there's all kinds of formats too you could do. You know, you're not just stuck with a PDF or emails. You could do a video. You could do some kind of audio people could download. If you're a life coach or a therapist or something like that, maybe you could make a guided meditation people could download and have an audio that could walk them through some kind of exercise.
Absolutely.
So many possibilities.
Well, what if you're a brick and mortar?
Well, I think it depends on what your business is, what kinds of things would be appropriate.
Well, let's try to brainstorm here. So we're talking about some very digital specific educational items.
Yeah.
What's something that a brick and mortar shop could do?
Oh, you want them to have something physical that they could
Something physical. Hey, let's take it offline. Something like that. What are some things that we could do?
They could do some kind of leaflet or little booklet or something with information about whatever their business is.
Yeah.
Like some tips to keep in mind or something like that that would be helpful.
I think about people who manufacture or produce their own goods, like their own leather products or their own clothing. Providing like a little pamphlet on how to care for a product would be really great. What if you had like a in-person workshop or meetup even?
Yeah, those can be really helpful. We could have everybody come in to learn about something. I think also for areas where there's tons of things to choose from, having some way to guide people through making that choice. Like the things that are more complicated. If you're selling computers or televisions or something like that, some way to, how do you narrow down the field of the options?
Right.
To figure out what's the best thing for you to buy.
Well, right. And you see this with people who are in the financial services field, you know, like advisors and whatnot. Like I'll see some of these people do workshops and things like that just to kind of educate people on basics of managing their money and their investments and things like that.
Just the other night, I was walking in Old Town Pasadena and a travel store there had all the lights down and was showing a movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, like some kind of travel documentary.
Huh.
And they had at least 75 people in there watching.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super complicated, and it can just be showing, you know, a movie or something like that. It doesn't have to be educational. Like, yeah. You can just bring people in for a good time.
Yeah, like bookstores having authors in for readings and signings and stuff.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways that you can do this, and I mean, there's businesses out there who the nature of the business is not exciting. They make metal sign plates for very specific use cases, and it might be a different type of dynamic. So I totally recognize that. Mm-hmm. But doing a creative or educational product, something simple that you can kind of give away or whatnot, requires some creativity on your side.
I just thought of a really lovely one that I did, which was a tea room. That's mm-hmm. local to here in LA.
Yeah.
It wasn't free, but it was affordable. And you could go in and do like a tea flight, basically. And you got to try, I would say about a dozen different kinds of tea, which I didn't even know there were that many kinds of tea. And you also learned a little bit about them. Like, what's the difference between oolong and black tea and green tea and white tea? And they talked about it like it was wine. Oh, this is floral. And talked about the process because, you know, some of them are fermented and some of them are dried. And you got to get this whole insight into something that I don't think most people even realize is going on.
Yeah.
You just think of tea like, oh, you just drop a tea bag in hot water.
Yeah.
But there's actually like an art to it. And so that was really fun. Like something like that where you can come in and learn about something that's more complex than most people realize.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a fun experience.
There are these improv classes that I've been taking, and I think the classes are free, and they're a ton of fun. You know, you get to go in, you get to be a weirdo for a couple hours. It's awesome.
Sounds like your kind of place.
It's my kind of place with my kind of people. But they do this because they have a community, and they're building up their community, and they have other shows that they do where they charge ticket sales, and you know, they have ticket sales and everything that they need to sell. The free classes, I think, help feed into that and keep the community thriving by delivering education, fun, and value. All of those combined, I think, is just one of those things that you just have to be creative. You have to think, well, what can we do? What can we do to deliver value and educate people?
Get people excited about what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's not hard. Given that there are businesses that aren't super exciting and it's just the nature of the business. And I don't have a ton of suggestions for rock breaking businesses. I don't know. I mean, you could have a community night, a community frustration night. Hear me out, rock breaking company.
And breaks up rock.
Yes.
And you could talk about all the different kinds of rocks.
Well, I would just give people a sledgehammer and say, go to town. Because people are stressed out.
That's true.
People need shit to break.
All right. Fair enough.
So that, if you're a rock breaking industry, if you are Fred Flintstone's boss company or something like that, the quarry, right?
Oh, that was his job.
That was
breaking up rocks.
I don't know if they ever actually did anything, Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I never saw him do a thing.
That's true of most people on TV. You don't really see them at work very often.
Yeah, it's not very exciting, is it? But so that's the challenge. Natalie, do you feel confident that you'll nail this challenge this week? Do you foresee any issues potentially getting in your way?
The only thing that I could see potentially getting in my way is me getting carried away with making something too big and too complicated to do in a week.
Start small.
Keep it doable.
Keep it. That's our tagline.
Yeah.
Keep it doable. Keeping it doable. That's our advice. Keep it doable. Keep it small.
You can always add on to it later.
That's right.
Or make another product later.
Things evolve. Things evolve, and everything's modular, so you can always build on top of what you're doing the next week. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, so that's the challenge. And, you know, just kind of before we sign off here and tell you to do all the stuff, subscribe to everything. Before we get to that, do you feel like over these last 11 episodes that the challenges that you've been completing, do you feel that they've made an impact that you can notice on your business?
Absolutely.
Do you think it has made an impact on you personally?
Yeah, I feel more in control of my business and more on top of things and just generally better because I know that all this stuff isn't just sitting around on the back burner.
Yeah, I definitely feel a lot more empowered, and I get excited when I see reactions to the things that I'm doing, whether it's the presence of more time, you know, that I'll have from stopping work on this website to, you know, getting unsubscribes from my email newsletter, which I still get. But that tells me that, you know, it's having the right effect, and people are unsubscribing who don't want it. But people who are engaged are opening it. My open rates are around 60% or greater, depending on which audience I send it to. So that, which is insane to me. It's really cool. So I'm curious if any of you are following along, and I'm pretty sure there's at least a few of you. If you're following along and you're doing these challenges, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so let us know your stories, what you've been doing, and is it helping? Is it not? What do you want to see maybe differently or whatever? You know, like we're a community here of two right now, and whichever alleged listeners we have. Natalie, where can people check us out online?
They can go to our website at dweeklypodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dweeklypodcast.
Word up.
And if they want to subscribe, they can find all the links on dweeklypodcast.com, but it's iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Store, and then also Blueberry Email RSS.
Yeah. If you could, leave us a fine and dandy 5-star review.
5 stars.
5 stars! On iTunes. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
For Natalie McLees.
For Alex Vasquez.
We are signing off.
This is the most awkward end of the podcast ever.
I feel like this is the end of every date that I've been on in the last 400 days.
Oh,
it's like 400 days of bummer.
Yeah, you're like, so I'll see you later.
All right. Things just got depressing. So we'll see you later, maybe.
See you next week.
Oh, if you say so.
See you next week with your new educational product.
Yes.
That is free or that you could charge for.
Yeah. Cool. We're out. Seriously, am I supposed to be normal right now? Like,
seriously, why start now?